Pero maikling leksyon lamang ito para sa isang napakahalagang bagay na pinag-uusapan sa buong mundo at dahil napag-uusapan sa buong mundo, mahalagang may alam tayo at hindi lang may alam kundi mabigyan natin ito ng biblical insight. Now, because this is a topic that is really that requires expert knowledge, and I'm not one to claim such an expert knowledge, hindi yun ang aking talagang tatalakayin. Nag-anyaya ako ng dalubhasa sa bagay na yan. Natatalakayin yung the technical side of it in the next two Sundays. Ang aking maibabahagi ay mula sa larawan ng o sa pananaw ng salita ng Diyos. Well, I hope that's my expertise. But we will be dealing with this and addressing this from a Christian standpoint. Inawit natin kanina yung basic na paniniwala natin ng control ng Panginoon maging sa kalikasan kasama na ang klima, ang panahon. Ayan ang titingnan po natin ngayon. Now, perhaps you're asking why am I using the title cramming on climate change. Well, ginagamit natin yung cram sa katuturan ng pagmamadali. Oh, by the way, humihingi ako ng paumanhin na wala akong Tagalog translation because I'll be quoting and at the same time citing technical terms. At mahirap pong itagalog at mahirap din po yung paghahanda rito. Kaya, pero I'll be speaking ng halo ng English sa Tagalog. So, why cram? Well, ginagamit natin yung cramming, hindi pa pag tayo nagmamadali ng pag-aaral, lalo na may exam. Pag hindi tuloy-tuloy yung pag-aaral mo, bigla mong mamadaliin. In that sense, why we cram? Well, compared to the years and years of study on climate and its counterpart na global warming, alam kong taon-taon na ang ginugol sa pag-aaral niyan. What's four Sundays of study ng Sunday school natin? Well, it's almost just like cramming. So in that sense, we are cramming. In another sense, yung naging response ng mundo sa problema na ito ay matatawag rin nating cramming in the sense na talagang may mga mabibigat na mga hakbangin na mga radikal na mga desisyon na dapat gawin. But since this matter has been raised years ago, decades ago in fact, ay hindi pa rin ganun katindi, hindi pa rin ganun karadikal ang tugon ng mundo. So both in the sense of our study and in the sense of the way the international community has responded to this issue, we can call it cramming. So in that sense, ginamit ko yung salitang cramming bukod siyempre doon sa alliteration ng cramming on climate change. Pero napakahalaga ba nito talaga? Well, let me quote from expert sources. Ang Time Magazine ay naglathala ng isang special publication na may pamagat na Global Warming in the year 2007. At ito yung kanyang sinabi sa introduction. Global warming may be the single greatest challenge of this century. Now, as a Christian, I dispute that. The greatest challenge, of course, to us as believers has something to do with the soul, something to do with eternity, not climate. But still, the fact na ganito yung kanilang pananaw tungkol sa climate change ay napakabigat na suliranin ito na hinaharap ng mundo. It is to them the greatest single challenge, the single greatest challenge of this century. Itong 21st century will prove whether the world will make it or not in terms ng climate change. Now, an even better source of expertise, alam niyo yung nagpulong, was that 2007, yung United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPCC, ay mga scientists ng maraming mga bansa nagtipon-tipon upang pag-aralan ng ang usapin na ito ng climate change. At sa kanilang inilathala na paper, sinabi nila climate change is likely to lead to some irreversible impacts. So ganyan kahalaga itong usapin na ito sa pananaw ng mundo. This is the greatest challenge sa pananaw ng mga dalubhasa, ng mga experts. There are irreversible impacts na mangyayari sa kalikasan, sa pamumuhay, sa komunidad ng mundo. Ganun kahalaga. Kaya we are addressing here a subject which is of such importance na dapat nating seryosohin. So, what are the basic facts? Talaga bang may nangyayaring climate change? Well, based on available records and observational data na available ngayon sa climate change, una, gusto kong sabihin na there is considerable consensus. May pagsasang-ayunan ang mga nasa larangan ng siyensya sa bagay na ito. There is considerable consensus in the science community on the fact of climate change, na ito ay totoo. In fact, the UN IPCC report of 2007 concludes that warming of the climate is unequivocal. Hindi na mapapasubalian na may nangyayaring pagbabago sa ating klima. Nakikita natin yan siguro maging sa karanasan natin. Eto, nasa kalagitnaan tayo ng summer, panayang ulan. Sinasabi ng iba na ilan lang yan sa mga sintomas ng extreme weather sa climate system natin dito sa mundo. Now, let me say also in fairness that this conclusion is not unanimous. I have read other expert opinions on this, but probably the best word to say, to use, ay consensus. Kapag consensus, pag tayo nagbutuhan dito, kinukuha natin yung consensus, two-thirds, three-fourths, hindi lang basta 50% plus one simple majority, kundi talagang nakararami ang gusto nating nagsasang-ayunan sa isang hakbangin ng iglesia. That's consensus. And in the science community, I think it is right to say that there is consensus, not unanimity. There are significant objections and other expert opinions, variable interpretations, but there is consensus in the science community that climate change is in fact occurring. At kung titingnan natin yung mga available records, the records point to an ongoing disruption of the climate system and of course with all its consequences. Yung mga available na records ay talagang pinapakita yung trend sa climate change. Now, for example, yung years nag-meet yung UN IPCC, I think 2007, kaya yung available records sa kanila, nakita nila na yung mga taon ng 1995 to 2006, yung dekada na yon, the years 1995 to 2006 ranked among the 12 warmest years in recorded surface temperature. Oh, hindi ko alam kung kailan nagsimula silang mag-record ng temperature, pero sinasabi nila na yung dekada na yon ay yun ang mga pinakamaiinit sa record temperatures natin sa kanilang available na data. No, that is saying a lot. Malaking sinasabi niyan based on record. Kung ano yung ilang temperature na sa surface temperature, yun ang pinakamaiinit na mga taon. And one of the reasons for that is itong isang malaking bokabularyo ng global warming ay greenhouse gases. So tawag nila GHGs. Simula nung 1750, that's the start of the Industrial Revolution. Sa England yan nagsimula. Sa Industrial Revolution ay nagpasimula yung mga massive production at mga pabrika. At dyan na nag-umpisa. Noon ay steam engine, pero mula noon ay iba't ibang mga fuel na ang ginagamit. So starting from the Industrial Revolution, there has been a very significant increase in the release of greenhouse gases, most especially and most significant of these gases ay yung carbon dioxide. Dahil yan sa mga planta na katulad nito. Yan, thermoelectric power is fueled by itong particular power plant na ito ay lignite or mas popularly known as brown coal. Brown coal is one of the dirtier fossil fuels na ginagamit ngayon. And this is produced, in this particular case, it is in the vast mine of Megalopolis, Greece. Marami po niyan, daan-daan niyan sa buong mundo na nagre-release ng carbon dioxide, maaring kagaya niyan, lignite or black coal or oil sa atin, ang nire-release niyan, katakot-takot na carbon dioxide. At anong ginagawa ng greenhouse gases? Well, it's the expert who will explain this better, but in my layman's understanding, greenhouse gases trap the heat of the sun. Kapag napakarami niyan, syempre yung init ng araw na kanyang ina-absorb ay mananatili dito at wala yung neutralizing effect. So, isipin nyo yan na ganyang karami, and there are many effects of this. Of course, one of the natural effects is the rising of sea levels as well as melting of glaciers and ice caps. Ang nakikita nyo rin ay ang the Gargler Glacier near Oberglerg, Austria. And this is receding as indicated by the feathered edge. So dito yung makikita natin, at tingnan natin yung loob. So that's the same glacier from inside. And according to Swiss glaciologists, they estimate that the rate of glacier thinning and retreat is so great that the alpine glaciers will have disappeared altogether in 100 years. So, ilan lamang yan. I'm sure when we discuss the expert view on this, mas marami tayong malalaman sa mga natural aspects nito. So, isipin nyo yung rising of the sea levels, anong makagiging kahulugan yan, mga pagbaha, melting of the ice caps, syempre pupunta yan sa mga karagatan. And so we see extremes of weathers ngayon. Ano yung extremes of weathers? Sa ibang lugar ng mundo, drought. Sa ibang lugar, mga pagbahat bagyo. Magtataka ka sa mga extremes na yan, and experts say that that is the result of this climate change. So those are the facts. Now, how do we respond to this? Well, gusto ko munang tingnan yung how evangelicals have responded to this. And it's quite sad because there is religious resistance among evangelicals to the idea of climate change. In the last conference I attended sa noong February, we had a speaker who will remain unnamed as courtesy. Pero nandun kami sa table kumakain, mga speakers, and we were discussing this, and somehow the topic of global warming was raised. And he suddenly blurted out with real conviction, "I don't believe that," he said. "I believe in global cooling." Well, it's an indication lamang na there is resistance among evangelicals to this, and we need to understand this. In fact, as a matter of fact, somebody gave me a data dun sa isang result ng Lifeway Research Survey. Itong Lifeway Research ay isang malaking survey company na kagaya ng ating SWS dito doon sa Amerika. A survey was done in October 2008, and it showed that 75% of pastors of mainline denominations, now these are liberals or Catholics, mainline denominations agree that global warming is real. But take note, when evangelical pastors were asked, only 32% agreed that global warming is real. Oh, that's minority. 75%, big majority among mainline denominations, pagdating sa evangelicals, mga naniniwala sa Biblia, naniniwala sa salvation by grace, ibig sabihin mga kapananampalataya natin, only 32% believed that global warming is real. And we need to understand this, and I want to suggest two reasons that are behind sa evangelical belief why there is resistance to belief in global warming. One reason is a one-sided hope that focuses on heaven as the afterlife. Maririnig mo pa rin yan maging sa mga evangelicals ngayon. Pag pinag-usapan yung afterlife o pinag-usapan yung final state, ang lagi nilang nasa isip, heaven. I'm going to heaven when I die. Or sa end of the world, ako'y sa langit. At puro langit yung kanilang idea ng hope, ng final state. And this is, of course, medieval in its root. Yung medieval age, talagang pinagsalungat itong langit at mundo. Ang mga makasalanan ay gugunawin kasama ng mundong ito at ang mga matuwid, ang mga mananampalataya ay patungo sa langit. And so, what it bred is this attitude of indifference to the earth. In fact, sa iba, yung talagang exact opposite, mas gusto pa nga nilang magunaw na ang mundong ito para tuloy-tuloy na sila sa langit. Nagkaroon ng ganyang mga attitude. Indifference to the world and for others, even a destruction wish for the world so that we may have para manahin na natin yung langit. Kaya kailangan nating ituwid ito. Ang pagtutuwid rito ay i-recover natin yung biblical belief that the final state and the final hope of the believer is both heaven and earth. Ang mamanahin natin ay langit at mundo. We will inherit the heaven and the earth. Revelation 21 verse 1 teaches us or tells us that one of the visions ni John ay a new heaven and a new earth. At anong sinabi ni Paul sa Romans chapter 8? Sa Romans chapter 8 na ang ating inaasahan is the redemption of the body and of the earth. May katubusan na pangmundo. Ang ating mamanahin ay hindi lang pumunta sa langit, iwanan ng mundo. Ang mamanahin natin, ang pananahanan natin na final state ay langit at mundo. Diba? Sa final state, may mga trabaho pa tayong gagawin sa kaharian ng Diyos. Diyan siguro mare-reflect yung tinatawag na degrees of blessedness and reward. Hindi natin alam saan tayo ma-assign, pero ang punto roon ay ours is both, are both heaven and earth. Kaya hindi tayo pwede maging indifferent dito sa mundo. We hope for both heaven and earth. The Bible makes that very clear. Siguro tingnan lang natin sa 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. Ito ang inaasahan ng mananampalataya. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. But according to His promise, take note, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So we are waiting, umaasam tayo, naghihintay tayo ng langit at mundo. And so there must be no indifference to the earth. Isa pang nagfi-feed ng ganitong evangelical resistance to the idea of climate change is the unbalanced belief that God is preserving the earth until the end. Kumbaga, inaalagaan na ng Diyos ang mundong ito. Pangako niya yan. Kung titingnan natin sa Noahic Covenant, buksan niyo sa Genesis chapter 8. Matapos na yung pagbaha sa buong mundo, bilang hatol sa mga tao nung panahon ni Noah, ay nagkaroon ng pakikipagtipan ang Diyos dito kay Noah. At sa kanyang pakikipagtipan kay Noah, ito ang sinabi, Genesis 8, verse 21, and when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in His heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. So there's the pledge of God, yung pangako ng Diyos sa kanyang pakikipagtipan kay Noah ay hindi matatapos yung proseso ng kalikasan, yung mga seasons, matutupad yon at kanyang ipinapangako na hindi magugunaw na muli ang mundo. So sa kanyang paniniwala, mga evangelicals iniisip nila na hindi tayo naniniwala na ang mundo ay gugunawin ng nuclear bomb, hindi tayo naniniwala na ang mundo ay magugunaw ng planetary collisions and definitely not by Martian attacks. Why should we believe that the earth will be destroyed by environmental depletion or global warming? So, while I do not accept that, I can see why evangelicals resist the idea of global warming. Dahil nga sa ganitong paniniwala, kumbaga, this is because of their faith. Huwag natin silang husgahan na masyadong obscurantist na ayaw tingnan yung data. Pero na uunawaan ko yung kanilang resistensya, but it is wrong. And it is also wrong not simply because of the scientific data, it is wrong because of its failure to have biblical appreciation of how God fulfills His covenant. Paano ba tinutupad ng Diyos ang kanyang mga ipinanata? Halimbawa, covenant of grace ay kasama rin yung salvation of God's elect. Ililigtas niya ang kanyang mga hinirang. Pero ibig bang sabihin na hintayin na lang natin na ang mga hinirang ay ililigtas? Gumamit siya ng mga kasangkapan. He is employing the church. He is employing our responsibility to bear witness, to preach the gospel. Sa makatwid, matutupad yung kanyang ipinangako sa tipan ng biyaya na magligtas, pero gumagamit siya ng mga kasangkapan, at yung mga kasangkapan ay hindi pwedeng magtamad. Hindi pwedeng magpabaya. Kaya tayo nagsisikap bilang iglesia, bilang bahagi ng kanyang tinutupad sa tipan. Well, that is how we should see even the fulfillment of the Noahic covenant. Now, if you ask me, I do not believe that the earth will be destroyed by global warming. My biblical faith tells me that. So I go along with evangelicals pagdating sa pananampalataya na yon. Pero ang hindi ko tinatanggap sa kanila ay yung indifference to the earth because of God's pledge of preservation. Sa halip, dapat nating tingnan na just as God is fulfilling His pledge of saving people by the responsibility of the church, so God is fulfilling the preservation of the earth by the responsibility of mankind. Dapat tayo maging responsable, kumbaga binigyan tayo ng ganitong bakuran na alagaan, responsibilidad natin na pangalagaan, pagyamanin, at huwag nating sabihin na ang Diyos naman ang nag-iingat ng mundo. And so in the fulfillment of these covenant pledges, let us be responsible as God's instruments. In fact, yan ang ibinigay sa atin na mando. So let me just bring home to us some biblical thoughts on this. Under the umbrella ng nature, anong dapat nating saloobin pagdating sa climate and changes that are occurring? Dahil climate yung ating pinag-uusapan, hayaan yung gumamit ako ng climate vocabulary. So four biblical thoughts. Una, a clear sky of divine revelation. Maaliwalas na kalangitan ng pahayag ng Diyos. Ang ibig sabihin, sa kalikasan, nakikita natin ang maliwanag na pagpapahayag ng Diyos. This nature and climate included is a theater of God's display of His power. Pinapakita niya, pinapamalas niya ang kanyang kapangyarihan sa pamamagitan ng kalikasan. You have in your handout, on the top of your handout, yung verse of Job 28, verses 25 to 27. When He gave to the wind its weight and apportioned the waters by measure. When He made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder. Then He saw it and declared it. He established it and searched it out. Do kanina inaawit natin, and clouds arise and tempests blow by order from thy throne. Napakagandang mga pananalita ayon na mga ulap man, mga alapaap o bagyo, unos, kumikilos lamang ayon sa kanyang pag-uutos mula sa kanyang luklukan. This is one danger we need to avoid, the danger of missing God in nature. This, I fear, is what many scientists are missing, even as they study nature with their expert minds, and yet they miss God in it. Sinabi ko sa inyo, I think a few Sundays ago, I subscribed to one of the oldest publications sa America, the Scientific American. More than 100 years na ang publication na yan. It is, yung mga articles dyan, napakagaganda. Ma-appreciate mo yung science, yung nature. In fact, recently, nagbigay sila ng free publication sa kanilang subscribers, and I received it. It has the title ng Majestic Universe. They are awed by nature, by the universe, and by climate. And yet, the Scientific American publication is militantly anti-creation. Militantly. And I mean militant, talagang pinaglalaban. Madalas may article sila against creation. Hindi lamang yun. They make sure that their staff, none of their staff whatsoever, believes in creation. Merong kaso recently na may tinanggal sila na staff, hindi siya nagsusulat about creation. Basta nalaman lang nila na naniniwala siya sa creation. And they kicked him out. That's how anti-creation militantly itong publication na ito. And it's so sad because they are awed by nature and yet they miss God in it. And we should not do that. Romans 1:20 tells us that God is clear. Maliwanag ang Diyos doon sa kalikasan. So clear in fact that what it does is it renders man inexcusable. Kumisang naririnig natin yung mga nagsasabi, paano yung mga hindi nakarinig ng Biblia? Hindi man nila narinig ang Biblia, may maliwanag na pahayag sa kanila sa kalikasan na kanilang tinatanggihan. They reject it. So we must believe that God is clear. There is a clear sky of divine revelation. At kasama na sa climate phenomena. Kaya mag-ingat tayo sa mga pananalita natin. Diyan, yung mga taong inis na inis sa init. At kapag umulan, inis pa rin, galit pa rin. At kapag may unos, ganun pa rin. Hindi mo na malaman kung saan sila matutuwa. But let us not forget, this is God's display of His power and creation. Then secondly, we have a heavy downpour of common grace. Sa kalikasan at sa klima ay may malakas na buhos ng biyaya ng Diyos. This is a downpour of common grace. What we mean by that is that God blesses humanity with the essentials of the weather. The essentials ng kailangan natin sa klima. Matthew 5:45, He sends the rain both to the just and the unjust. Yung dagdag ni Lucrian ay even to the unthankful. Nagpapadala siya ng ulan. Wala namang weather report na pang-Kristiyano. Sa mga Kristiyanong narayan, ito yung panahon ngayon. Walang ganong report. Ang panahon ay para sa lahat, pangkalahatan. At nung si Pablo'y nangangaral sa Listra in Acts chapter 14, mga magsasaka ito, anong sinabi niya? Hindi kayo iniwanan ng Diyos na walang saksi, kundi nagpadala siya ng ulan sa mga panapanahon. Ibig sabihin, ito yung kailangan nila bilang magsasaka. At kapag umuulan para sa kanilang sinasaka, huwag ninyong kalimutan na ang Diyos ang nagpadala niyan. So there is common grace. Ang Diyos ang nagbibigay pa rin ng soberanong kontrol sa kilos ng klima. And that includes two things. Sustenance, yung pagtutustos ng kalikasan at ng panahon. At hindi lang yung pagtutustos, even disasters are under God's sovereign control. So yung pagtutustos ng kalikasan, ng klima, pero ganun na rin ang mga kapahamakan na nangyayari sa pamagitan ng mga panahon ng kalikasan, it is by God's control. Disasters may be permitted by God for punitive reasons, or for other purposes. Tingnan natin sa Psalm 107, verses 33 and 34. Psalm 107, verses 33 and 34. He turns rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. So narito ang isang phenomenon na ang tawag ng mga experts ay desertification. Yung mga body of water or mga lupang masagana nagiging disyerto. Nangyayari yan. Nangyayari yan sa China. And there is the case of the Aral Sea, o dating Aral Sea, sa bahagi noon ng Soviet Union. Wala na ngayon. Wala na ngayon doon.
yung body of water na yun, isa ng wilderness. Eh, may ruin pa nga doon ng isang barko na siguro naiwan na lang doon nang siya abutan ng pagtuyo nung Aral Sea. Eh, ang punto riyan ay nangyayari ito. But in our text, one of the reasons, and it could be the reason in some communities, is because of the wickedness of those who dwell in it. Kaya sustenance, we need to be thankful. Disasters, we need to acknowledge, even in the disasters, God's control, ang control ng Diyos. And then, finally, there is the low-pressure area of human oversight. Yung low pressure, namumuong sama ng panahon, eh, sama na ng panahon itong responsibilidad ng tao. Inisip ko rin na tawagin itong tropical depression, eh, pero this is pang mundo, kaya let me call it a low-pressure area of human oversight. Man is given the mandate of caring for the earth, and man is being irresponsible. Much of mankind is irresponsible sa bagay na yun. Sa paglalalang sa tao, alam natin yung unang-unang mando na ibinigay ng Diyos sa tao, at hindi lang ito para kay Adam and Eve, it is a mandate of mankind to subdue the earth. At yung subjugation doon na hindi subjugation na walang pakundangan, na sirain, kundi pagyamanin. Pagyamanin ng mundo para sa ikabubuti ng sangkatauhan at ang mga susunod na henerasyon. That is our responsibility. Kaya binigyan si Adam ng mga pangangailangan niya. At tayo man ay may ganitong katungkulan. Our last text, Psalm 115 and verse 16. Take note, Psalm 115, verse 16, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth He has given to the children of men. Kaya dito parang tayo yung ginawang regent, tagapamahala dito sa ating mundo. And that means man becomes responsible for optimizing, yung payamanin. Kaya pinag-aaralan ng maraming bagay sa mundo, naniniwala ako na bahagi ito ng mandate natin, pag-aralan para mapagyaman. You study the soil, you study the plant in order that it may give more produce, and it is right. May mga conservative na sinasabing huwag mong galawin ang kalikasan. Hayaan mong yung natural process lang. I don't believe that. I believe binigay sa atin ay raw materials in order that we may optimize it to produce finished products that will be good for man. We are responsible, but also we are accountable if we destroy it. Mananagot tayo, sisingilin tayo ng Diyos kapag ating sinira ang ibinigay sa ating kalikasan. And one of the things that has been concluded by the study of experts is that climate change is largely by human irresponsibility. And if that is the case, then we are responsible to reverse it. So yan ang challenge sa atin. From the biblical standpoint, ay tayo ang responsable sa nangyayari. At kung tayo ang responsable sa nangyayari, tayo rin ang responsable para ito ay panumbalikin sa dapat nitong kalagayan. Any question?
Pastor, yung 2 Peter 3 verse 13, yung new heaven and new earth, physical and spiritual, yun, or physical or spiritual?
Well, it's both physical and spiritual. Physical dahil talagang heaven and earth, pag ginamit siya ng magkasabayan, ay tumutukoy sa buong nilikha ng Diyos. Pero sinabi ron, where righteousness dwells. So it is described both physically as well as spiritually. Kaya yung pananahanan natin ay mundo at langit na wala ng kasalanan, wala ng bahid ng kasalanan. Kaya ang lagi kong sinasabi, ang final state is Eden and more. Katulad ng Eden kay Adam and Eve, pero mas marami pa. Go ahead, Jean.
Follow up to the physical aspect, would that include yung technological development like na mentioned you last time in one of our Sunday schools?
Well, my conviction, na itatanong sa akin din madalas yan, my conviction is that everything good will remain. Everything evil will not remain on earth. Sa final state, ang pinag-uusapan natin. Sa final state, anong mga mabuti, kasama na yung mga produkto ng teknolohiya at talino ng tao. May mga nag-aakala na balik tayo sa pure kalikasan sa final state. Again, I'm not convinced na mga arguments doon. My conviction is that everything good will continue, will be retained, and ang mawawala lamang ay everything that is evil. So does that include technology? I believe so. Tandaan natin, ang lahat ng mga matuwid sa buong kasaysayan ay magsasama-sama na sa heaven and earth. So, may internet pa ba doon? Mabuting internet. No trash. Other questions? Other questions? Go ahead, Jean.
Pastor, if we are responsible to reverse climate change, so parang ibig sabihin, climate change is something that is not good. So we have to reverse it. Or is it parang may point din naman yung mga pastors who, the pastor whom you talked with. It's not global warming, it's global cooling. Kasi parang ang feeling ko lang, hindi naman moral issue yung climate change, the way people look at it at this point in time. Kasi hindi naman siya evil. Change lang naman siya ng climate. What makes it evil?
Well, unang-una, what it does to mankind. Yung mga nakikita natin ngayon ng mga extremes of weathers plus yung mga negative impacts on human life. Now, the point here is, what is the cause of that? Is it just the natural process of the climate? The conclusion drawn by experts, again, based on dun sa IPCC, ay much of this climate change is the result of human behavior. So sa mga tuwid, yung wasteful use natin ng mga fuel that releases greenhouse gases, yan ay human behavior. At kaya sinasabi nilang dahil sa human behavior, nagkaroon ng climate change, therefore there must be some changes made of human behavior in order to reverse the trend of climate change. Now I'm sure our expert will have more to say on that in the next two Sundays, but that will be my take on it. The climate change, much of it is due to human behavior. Other questions? May question? Mga bata, walang nagpadalang question ng mga bata. Ike.
Pwede rin kaya sabihin, Pastor, na the climate change occurring is part of the divine revelation that it's a message from God that you have spoiled the earth. You have to do something about it.
Well, in the sense ng providence, nangyayari ang mga bagay na ito by the control of God's providence. And of course, providence may either be in terms of blessing or in terms of affliction or even in terms of punishment. So, doon natin titingnan ang mga bagay na yun. And I believe that climate change has a negative impact on human life, and much of this is because of human behavior, so we can say that it is a providential chastisement or something like that para sa misbehavior ng mga tao. O may, sige, basa.
Gusto ba ng God na magkaroon ng climate change? Why?
Well, masasabi natin ay pinapahintulot ng God ang climate change. Hindi mangyayari ito na hindi pinapahintulot ng Diyos, na hindi ayon sa kanyang kalooban. Pero ang dapat nating usisain, bakit pinapahintulot ang ganito? Dahil ang mga nangyayari ay maaaring pinapahintulot ng Diyos para magpala, o pinapahintulot ng Diyos para magdisiplina, magparusa. Eh kung negative ang impact, siguro ay merong negative na dahilan.
What does climate change have to do with the Word of God?
What does climate change have to do with?
The Word of God.
The Word of God. Well, I have shown you that the Word of God has much to say about nature, climate. Diba? Yung mga tekstong nandyan sa inyong handout. May mga kinalaman sa rain, sa tempest, sa even desertification. In other words, even before experts have noted such phenomena, the Bible already was saying things about those phenomena. Kaya may sinasaka, ako naman na hindi tatalakay ng anumang paksa na hindi may sinasabi ang salita ng Diyos. Now, in the next two Sundays, makikita natin from the scientific expert standpoint yung usapin na ito, pero ibinigay ko sa inyo ngayong umaga ay anong sinasabi ng salita ng Diyos. Kaya nga, andyan yung biblical thoughts, na it's divine revelation, common grace, sovereign control, and the mandate of human oversight. Yung iba raw mga tanong ay yung expert na makakasagot, kaya hintayin natin sa mga sa susunod na dalawang linggo. Any other question concerning biblical insight on the climate, or any thought na you like to share sa mga huling lesson natin? Titingnan natin yung mga action na dapat natin gawin. May mga action tayo individually na magagawa in contribution to the reversal of climate change. Kaya mayroon tong personal na kinalaman sa atin. Any other thought? Mel?
Insight lang siguro. Yung, bali, yung climate change, para ding merong mga facts na inevitable. Parang sa tao, yung death inevitable, pero responsible tayo na gamitin yung means para mabuhay pa rin tayo. So, ganun din sa nature. Kung alam natin na sick siya, human responsibility na i-delay natin yung kanyang decay. So, yun, dahil sa purpose na tayo, makapag-worship pa din sa God.
Mm. Well, thank you, Mel. That's a very good analogy. Na syempre kung may sakit yung katawan natin, hindi naman natin sasabihin, eh, lahat naman tayo mamamatay. Ba't pa natin kailangan gamutin o alagaan? So, it's a good analogy na kung nakikita natin may sakit ang mundo, well, subukan natin gamutin at kung ano magagawa natin para gawing normal. Huwag nating sabihin lang na, eh, magugunaw naman ang mundo talaga, so hayaan na lang natin. So, that's a good analogy. Any other thought? Meron pa? Well, in the next two Sundays, we are fortunate, we are blessed na meron tayong member na member din ng United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, and he has very kindly accepted my invitation to address in the next two Sundays itong bagay na ito sa tungkol sa climate change, and I will be as an eager listener as you are sa mga bagay na yun. Pero lagi natin itong tingnan as Christians from a biblical standpoint. May responsibilidad tayo bilang mga nilalang ng Diyos para sa kanyang nilikha, at magpasalamat tayo, and as I've said kanina, in dealing with nature, don't miss God. Whether it's climate, weather, or yung natural bodies na ating nararanasan, let us not miss God. That's the least that we can do as believers. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, nagpapasalamat kami sa iyong salita na makapagbibigay sa amin ng mga pananaw na may kinalaman sa nilikha na maaring hindi nakikita, maging na mga dalubhasa as they study nature with all their expertise and genius, and yet they miss God in it. We pray, O Lord, that as Christians, we would not miss your presence, the display of your power in the phenomena of nature. At sa bagay na ito na pinag-aaralan namin tungkol sa climate change, nawa nga ay magkaroon kami ng pangunawa na makatotohanan, at tulungan mo ang mga pag-aaral namin sa susunod mula sa pananaw ng dalubhasa ay makita namin ang talagang nangyayari sa klima at kung anong epekto nito sa amin at kung anong magagawa namin para dito. Ngunit tulungan mo kami na sa lahat ng ito ang pananaw namin ay tunay na ibatay namin sa iyong salita. At muli, Panginoon, tanggapin mo ang aming pasasalamat, tanggapin mo ang aming pagsamba, sapagkat nakikita namin na tunay na makapangyarihan at dakila kang Diyos sa iyong nilikha sa kalikasan. Sa pangalan ng Panginoong Hesukristo, ito ang aming panalangin. Amen.